to Luxembourg now. Tony Connolly, our Europe editor, is there, and EU foreign ministers are meeting there today. Tony, we heard the Taoiseach Simon Coveney as he arrived. He seemed to be quite optimistic about progress being made on a Brexit deal. The EU chief negotiator, Michel Barnier, wasn't as upbeat earlier. Are you hearing anything from those talks in Brussels?
Well, the talks resumed this morning, Claire, and the negotiators have taken a short break, but the picture I'm getting is that the British side would prefer to spring any new proposals later this week rather than earlier. I think on the basis that the later the proposals come, then the more pressure there will be on EU leaders who meet in Brussels on Thursday and Friday to actually get to grips with the new text and perhaps get something over the line, whereas the EU want any new proposals from the UK side to come as quickly as possible, because leaders coming to Brussels do not want to be surprised by a text that they haven't seen. They need at least 24 hours to go through the text. So you have that internal tension between the two sides. But overall, the EU is largely dismissing and rejecting the UK's plan for customs, which is this idea of a customs partnership. We've talked about it before. Northern Ireland would be in the EU, in the UK's customs territory, but it would apply the EU's customs tariffs and procedures, and you would have a fairly elaborate system of rebates for goods that were just going to Northern Ireland. You would have to have a tracking system for those goods to make sure they end up where they are supposed to end up. And then you've got the question of rules of origin. What happens to, say, ingredients that go from Great Britain to Northern Ireland but are then turned into a product that goes across the border into the south and then by extension into the rest of the EU? Overall, the EU believes this package of proposals is just simply not workable and certainly wouldn't be something you could negotiate in time for the summit. So they're trying to get the UK to push back towards the Northern Ireland only backstop, the original idea, which had a much more straightforward formulation of Northern Ireland staying in the customs union and single market if other solutions weren't found. So that's really where things are at. We haven't had any major new developments this morning, but my understanding is that the EU is going to be quite strict on that idea of Britain coming back towards the Northern Ireland only backstop.
So that's where we are then. We can take it as read that the EU won't accept the latest plan from Britain.
That's what I'm hearing, yeah, that they feel this plan simply is too complex, too convoluted, and would give rise to fraud and, you know, has got implications for what we call rules of origin. So on that basis, we're waiting to see if the UK come forward with other proposals, but so far they haven't yet done so. And as I was saying, the suspicion is that the UK would rather leave it later than earlier, so that the pressure cooker environment of a European Council might help their proposals to get over the line. But of course, the flip side of that is that the EU would really be not willing to have to see something at the last minute. Leaders notoriously resent that kind of situation occurring.
Okay, Tony Connolly there in Luxembourg. Well, the Queen of England delivered her speech at the official state opening of Parliament in Westminster today. Queen Elizabeth declared that the first priority for the government is to leave the EU at the end of this month.
My government's priority has always been to secure the United Kingdom's departure from the European Union on the 31st of October. My government intends to work towards a new partnership with the European Union based on free trade and friendly cooperation. My ministers will work to implement new regimes for fisheries, agriculture, and trade, seizing the opportunities that arise from leaving the European Union. An immigration bill ending free movement will lay the foundation for a fair, modern, and global immigration system. My government remains committed to ensuring that resident European citizens who have built their lives in and contributed so much to the United Kingdom have the right to remain. The bill will include measures that reinforce this commitment.
Our London correspondent Sean Whelan is at Westminster this lunchtime. Sean, as you said in the bulletin at 1 o'clock, it was a 20-minute speech, but there's lots of detail in the paperwork behind these plans. I know you've been taking a look at some of that paperwork. What have you seen there that is of interest to us?
Well, trying to take a look at it, as you say, there's 130 pages of documentation accompanying that speech, as well as the speech itself. One of the interesting points, though, in relation to item one in the speech, which is the EU withdrawal agreement bill, it says that the backstop will be removed and replaced with a new protocol on Ireland and Northern Ireland. So that is obviously the most interesting thing from an Irish point of view. But of course, we don't know what that backstop alternative arrangement might actually be. And you've just been talking to Tony Connolly in Brussels. That's precisely what they're trying to do in Brussels. So effectively, the head of state here has read a government speech saying we're going to have legislation passed through this House in 17 days time to cover off a bill that a piece of international agreement that is still under negotiation in Brussels. And if that sounds like a tall order, well, you're right, it is a tall order.
It's fascinating to hear what Tony had to say there, that the current British proposals are just not going to wash with the EU. So we're back now to the Northern Ireland only backstop, which, as we know, can't get through Westminster.
Will it get through Westminster? That's a question. We know that Theresa May's backstop, which included the whole of the United Kingdom in a customs arrangement, didn't get through. Whether a deal can be done that would revert back to the original concept of a Northern Ireland-only backstop or something similar to it remains to be seen. I think it remains in play. And that also relates to this issue of consent for Northern Ireland, what kind of consent mechanism or mechanisms there might be. I grabbed a quick word with Julian Smith, the Northern Ireland Secretary, just a few moments ago down here on Abingdon Green. He wasn't prepared to go into any kind of details, understandably enough, but he believes that a consent mechanism can be forthcoming. But of course, this government is in can-do mould, and I suppose they can be in no other way when you're facing into a situation where you have committed to removing your country from the European Union. You've got 17 days to do it, and you've decided to bet it all on one number, which is the 31, and that's the 31st of October, the day for getting out of the European Union. It really doesn't leave much time, A, for negotiating the agreements that is the do-or-die agreement that Boris Johnson has spoken about, or B, to introduce the legislation that is necessary for the United Kingdom to implement that agreement in a lawful fashion. And that's just the withdrawal agreement in itself. They've got a bunch of other bills, which you heard Queen Elizabeth outlining there, dealing with things like agricultural subsidies, fisheries controls, social security coordination. These are all difficult technical pieces of legislation in and of themselves. So the idea of either trying to ram them through the House using guillotine mechanisms or going into a full-scale debate to get proper legislation out, it's pretty far-fetched given that we are just 17 days away from Brexit.
Okay, Sean, thank you very much. Sean Whelan there, our London correspondent.